Rapping with Reef Bum is sponsored by Champion Lighting and Supply, Polo Reef, and Fauna Marine.
Hey, hey, what's happening, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Rapping with Reef Bum. I'm your host, Keith Berkelhammer. So on tonight's live stream, I have the pleasure of having on Ray Riveron from Pirates Reef Corals. What's happening there, Ray?
Yeah, all good, all good. How you doing, Keith?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Just hanging out there and down in Florida, huh?
Yeah, where it never gets cold.
Never gets cold. Yeah, we're getting winter's coming here up in Vermont, so it's already starting to get a little bit chilly.
I forget that winter exists until I ship boxes. That's the only time I know it's cold, because I'm like, man, it's 80 degrees here, but when I'm shipping to, it's 50.
Yeah, yeah. We could talk about that during the show. So before we start chatting with Ray, I want to take care of some business and thank the sponsors of this show. My sponsors are really important to me because they make this show possible with their support, and that means a lot since I want to continue to bring on awesome guests to help foster this learning environment. Polo Reef, make sure to check out Polo Reef's new YouTube video that drops this Friday, where a behind-the-scenes walkthrough tour shows us the ins and outs of equipment running Polo Reef facilities, and also check out their previous video showing some shocking fish, coral, and pet health issues uncovered by their veterinarian, Alex Hall, that dropped last week. Make sure to subscribe to their YouTube channel at Polo Reef for video drop notifications. Champion Lighting and Supply, besides being a place for hobbyists to purchase saltwater aquarium supplies online, Champion Lighting is also a wholesale distributor for many popular brands. If you own an aquarium store or an aquarium service company, contact Champion Lighting through their website at championlighting.com to set up a wholesale account. Fauna Marine. I do use the Fauna Marine ICP, Reef ICP Total Test Kit, which gives a quick, accurate, and easy overview of over 90 water values in reef aquariums, from macro elements to trace elements and pollutants. You get a complete overview with corresponding dosage and action recommendations. I am now a certified Fauna Marine ICP test advisor, so if you need help interpreting results, then select Reef Bum as your advisor. You could also purchase the ICP test kits as well as other Fauna Marine products at reefbum.com. So Ray, man, when I was talking to you a few days ago before I had asked you to come on to the show, you mentioned you're getting prepped for a frag swap. How'd that go?
It went pretty well. I mean, it's the usual, you know, local shows. It's always, you know, it's the same group of people. We, you know, we always hang out. I got my buddy Speed Reefer and all the other locals that we know each other. So it's basically the same group.
Same group.
All the Florida shows.
How many different swaps you go to down there in Florida?
I tend to do whatever I can go to that's not too far. There's some like oddball ones, I think, more north that I don't go to.
Yeah.
But I do Reefapalooza, Aquashella, and then I do the smaller ones down here, which is Skelly Fest. And we used to have the club one, but the club went away, FMS.
Okay.
So it's down to like, I think, four or five now.
So you actually...
Well, we have the Florida Frag Swap as well, which is two.
Do you actually get on a plane and travel for these swaps? These larger... No.
I drive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, since I stopped selling frags online, I'm going to go to one frag swap. The Boston Reef Society is having a frag swap in November, Fragsgiving, I think is what it's called, which will be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to going to that. Cool. And, you know, so it's cool to be going to shows because you get to kind of see and hang out with, like-minded reef keepers, and it's always a lot of fun to, shoot the shit. So, Ray, man, how did you get into this hobby, man? What was your reef keeping journey like?
I mean, I think it's like everybody else. I started with freshwater.
Yep.
I had a 5-gallon tank, a little simple 5-gallon tank, a couple plants. Then it turned into a 10-gallon tank with a couple plants and some door cichlids, and then it turned into a saltwater tank, 10-gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And then my uncle always had reef tanks since I was a little kid. And he was moving one day and he was like, I have this 65-gallon, which is actually the ones I still have in my living room. He's like, I have this 65-gallon, you know, I'll give it to you as long as you're not going to resell it, you know, and just sell off everything I gave to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm not going to, I'm going to get into it. So I got the 65 and that was it. ruined my life from that day.
You were a hook, man, huh?
Oh, man, I spent like a whole year just buying and killing things. Because, you know, you go to the stores and you're like, can you buy that fish? And they're like, yeah, that fish is great. Yeah. Throw that fish in there. Yeah. You're fine. So I used to buy this fish, that fish, this coral, that coral, whatever you could, whatever I would see that would call my attention, I would grab it and throw it at home. And then one day I started actually getting good at growing the corals.
Yeah.
So I it was around the time when the Zoas were getting like expensive, like the Rastas mm-hmm. and Utter Chaos. I don't remember the exact year, but I started selling Rastas on Craigslist.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, man, I'm actually growing these things pretty good. I was like, all right.
Making some money.
I'm making some money. I can actually pay for all the stuff that I'm blowing money on. And then I started getting into acros. And it was around the time where acros weren't like named yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They weren't big.
Yeah.
So it was like just in the beginning, like the Sexy Corals Orange Passion came out right after I started. My first big coral was a Hawkins Echinata from RA.
It's an awesome coral.
That was the first one I grew out. Like when I grew that out, I was like, oh man, I can actually grow SPS.
That's not an easy coral to grow out either, you know?
Yeah, no, I had it growing. That was back in the metal highlight days. I had a metal highlight and then I switched to LEDs. But from there, it just took off once I started growing the SPS and I focused on those.
So did the 65-gallon quickly get replaced, or did you just add to that tank? Did you get multiple tanks going at the house?
Well, that tank is still there. It's always been my display tank. It has racks everywhere now. You know, it's just full of colonies. But that I broke off into a little 2x2 deep blue next to it that I traded some corals for off Craigslist as well. Yeah. And then from there, I ended up building a 6x2x1, you know, like a standard frag tank. Yep. I built that, and then I ended up going from there, and I built two 6x2x1s that are on a double stack system, one on top of the other.
So, I mean, how long were you in the hobby before, you know, in terms of like starting to keep corals before you decided to turn it into a business? I mean, you mentioned that you started selling the Rosses on Craigslist and stuff like that, but when in like, you know, piratery, like
really
corals.
Started the company?
Yeah, when did it kind of like all happen for it?
I'll tell you the exact year. I don't remember exactly. It's on my website, though. I think it was 2017. I have it right on the front. Yeah, 2017
is
when I started the company. But I was, you know, way before that, you were already growing and selling corals. I was going to the local club for egg swaps and stuff.
Yeah. That's.
It got to the point where, you know, I needed more equipment, more products. I was making more money, so I had to turn it into a business.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of like how I whetted my appetite. You know, I had a full-time job, and the reef keeping was mm-hmm. a hobby and all that stuff, but I used to go to frag swaps. And, you know, initially when I went, you know, what would go years ago would be just kind of like trade, you know, and just do an actual swap of corals. Then, you know, then I started selling stuff and, you know, I'm dating myself. Then the internet became, you know, pretty big place to you know, the forums, like Reef Central. That was like a big thing. Yeah. And like Manhattan Reefs, which is still going strong, you know, and like a Boston Reefers or something like that. You know, those kind of forums were like the selling and the buying forums and stuff. That's kind of like where I first got my start in terms of making a little money to kind of subsidize the hobby. And then, you know, for me, it was a number of years ago, you know, maybe how long have it been, like 10 years or something like that when I turned it into an actual business. But it's not easy, man, you know. But you're lucky you're in Florida, because you got that's sort of like a hotbed for reef keeping.
Yeah, it is. It's the main, I would say that the main states are where the corals are at. It's Florida, Texas, California, New York.
Yeah.
Those are like the main hotspots.
Yeah, no, for sure. Did you have?
But I mean, down here we're lucky because we have worldwide corals. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
all the stores in Orlando, Living Reef, Top Shelf, so that kind of brings a lot of people here.
Yes, I've been to Meckley's place in Plant City, but I haven't been to Worldwide Corals. I have not been to Top Shelf, and I definitely want to visit those. Places because
you need to go to those two, and also Living Reef Orlando.
Living Reef Orlando, I've heard some good things about that too. Yeah,
all three of those are basically, I mean, They're all like some of the nicest stores, honestly. I haven't really been around too much of the other states, but from what I've seen, those stores are like, because they're constantly competing with each other and keeping each other on their toes.
Yeah.
So those stores aren't even like, they're not a regular store. You walk in there and it's like the cabinets are white, you know, it's all, the floors are done up. It's not like your old school fish store. You walk in and there's water on the floor, yeah, and the cabinets are chipping. Yeah. Like these stores are like nicely kept.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. So when you were getting into the hobby and all that stuff, did you have any mentors? Were you, you know, kind of following somebody's methods or anybody you were looking up to?
I mean, I didn't learn from anybody. Like, I mean, I learned off the internet and whatever, you know, whatever I figured out on my own as I went along and killed stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, the person I always followed was Jason Fox. That was always like I was like, man, he's the best, you know, reef keeper. I want to end up being like him.
Yeah.
So that's why I always followed, but it's hard to, he doesn't really tell you what he does. So it's kind of hard to know.
I know.
I used to find like little bits and pieces on the internet where he'd be like, oh, I run my T5s for 8 hours and my metal highlight for 4, but that's about it. You know,
I had him on the show a while ago and basically he was saying big water changes. That's his secret. The secret.
He does the giant, what is it, like 1,000-gallon water changes with the instant ocean or whatever?
Something like that. Yeah. So, let me ask you another question here. So you're gonna show us, you're gonna give us a little tour of your setup there and whatnot. But I know in Florida houses don't have basements, right?
No.
So the tanks that you're about to show us, these tanks are kind of like in a living room of the house or a separate area of the house.
My display is, you know, it's in the living room. The display in the little 2x2.
Yeah.
That's in my living room. But then I had a spare room, and that kind of turned like into my garage. Uh-huh. That's where I keep my tanks and all the tank stuff. It's essentially all tank stuff. The entire room is organized. Even the closets are all organized to hold all the things, you know, all the equipment that you need and the boxes for shipping.
Yeah.
So it's basically a fish room is what we call it.
Yeah.
We call it the fish room.
All right, man. Ray, why don't you give us a little tour of the tanks and your whole setup there and the equipment, and we can kind of like just see what you got going on and have a conversation about that stuff. And
all right,
see.
You want me to turn the tanks blue so when I put the filter on? What time is it right now? It is 7:15. Yeah, the tanks are still, they're going to be coming down from the white.
Yeah, whatever you think, man. I'll let you know in terms of whether you need a filter or not. Well, right, but you can see it too, though, right?
Huh? Yeah,
you'll be able to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be blue because, you know.
Yeah.
This is the fish room.
Nice. So what is
this? Is the first tank?
Is that the 65? No.
No. No.
No. No. That's the.
No, this is the fish room. Let me see if the filter helps a little bit. Yeah. Still bluish.
Yeah.
I could turn on blue so it'll look better.
Yeah,
this is the fish room that we were talking about just now. So essentially this tank right here, this was acrylic originally when I had it built.
Uh-huh.
It was a, you know, 6x2x1 acrylic tank.
Uh-huh.
And then there you go, that's blue. Let me put the other filter on it. What happened was the acrylic started popping on me a few years ago, like, no, not years ago. Actually, I'd say probably less than a year, because I had this tank built by. Is that better?
It's a little cloudy. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, it's because the blue is reflecting on the.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
lens.
That's good when you kind of like show it up close.
Yeah, when I bring it down.
Yeah.
So this tank. Yeah, I'll angle it. There you go.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, this tank is all SPS from end to end.
Nice.
This
man.
Is basically just frag racks.
That is freaking chock full, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I got it even growing on the back. I got like this, I made like a vertical wall. And I throw like Vendamontes on there sometimes. And then I got a little top floor on the back for like small random frags that I work on.
Yep.
And then over here in the corner, I got just a couple Ghanis and stuff over here. But they're honestly not the. And I got the torch back there, the big holy grail.
Yep. Yep.
But. I mean, this has always been kind of my main tank that does the best for me.
So are those all like working colonies? You basically are of those colonies, you frag those colonies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Frag from all this, and then I usually put them over here in this little batch.
Do you bring in stuff like you know, from, do you like import any stuff, or are you pretty much all like buying frags locally and what have you, and then growing them out, and then you're...
I mean, I'll buy frags, but no, I stopped importing years ago because I tried it. Like, I used to buy colonies from Unique Corals and this and that, but, and it just wasn't working for me. It was like, you know, you buy like 10 colonies and the ones that survive would be the ugliest ones. The nice ones would all die on you.
Yeah.
Or you end up getting some new pest you got to deal with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or an algae.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I've been buying frags and growing them. That's all I ever do. I just buy whatever I like and regrow.
That's the best thing to do, man. You know, if you can, if you have that time to do it, but if you're good at what you're doing, then it's not going to take that much time to,
No, they grow pretty well. I mean, I enjoy it. I actually enjoy growing them from, you know, from frags and making them grow. And I'm like, all right, you know, I got this one to go.
How do you manage like, you know, detritus in that tank? I mean, I see you've got the racks are elevated. It looks like, do you have flow underneath
those
racks?
The racks are raised up. Let me see if I can get it. There you go. Yeah, I made legs for them.
Yep.
Well, I didn't make. I just found longer screws and spacers.
Yep.
But these are the Building Obsession racks.
Yeah.
So I raised them up about, I think it's an inch and a half it was or something like that.
Yep.
So it gets enough flow underneath. Then I have, let me see if you can see that.
I've got the Luna Reef racks. I like them a lot too. They're acrylic racks.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
They're very similar. You can raise those up with pipes, right?
Yep, PVC pipe. Yep.
So I have a gyre on each end, and then I have a reef octo right here.
Yep. Yep.
So that creates a lot of flow.
A lot of flow.
And then I just have them, you know, alternating. They're connected to a Hydros.
Uh huh.
And then I have them custom programmed with the Hydros wave.
Do you ever pull out those racks to kind of like siphon out any detritus that's collected at the bottom, or that flow pretty much gets it
nothing,
down?
There's nothing underneath.
Nice.
There's nothing at all underneath these. Let me see. It just forms in that one corner over there, and over here I just have a snail graveyard.
Yeah, who doesn't?
but no, it usually forms right here in this one corner.
Yeah.
That's where all the dirt goes, so I can just siphon this corner or over here underneath the gonies right there.
Yeah, nice and easy.
For the most part, it stays clean, you know?
So you got a lot of flow in that tank. What about lighting?
Lighting, I'm doing the... I got Radeons, G6 Blues I switched to with Reef Brights.
Yep.
I used to do the G4s with T5s.
Uh-huh.
But then I wanted to get rid of T5s because, you know, all this thing that everybody's talking about, that T5s are going to get discontinued and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I tried to get ahead of the curve, and I think I kind of kicked myself. But
what kind of spectrum are you running with those Radeons?
I mean, I use everything. The blues don't really have much white.
Uh-huh.
So I use all the colors at 100%.
Oh, so
I just have them
like a full spectrum type of thing.
Different. Yeah, I have it, you know, my own schedule that I do. I do it's 12 hours blue, you know, total 12 hours total. And then in the middle it has 5 hours of it's not really 5. It's 4 because you have half hour ramps.
Yeah.
So it's 4 hours of the white in the middle. And that's when the Reef Brights turn on with that 5 hours.
Yep.
So basically it's blue most of the day.
Gotcha. But you're still getting pretty damn good growth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, I'm hitting them with a lot of white still because I'm using the whites to their full potential.
Do you have like a par meter? Have you ever measured par in that tank?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you getting?
With the blues, I get 300. And then when the whites and the Reef Bright turns on, it goes up to 450.
That's good, man. You know, that's a nice range. You know, it's kind of like what I shoot for is like 300 at the, you know, my display tanks, the bottom like 300, 350, and then 500 near the top or something like that. I find that seems to be a nice zone.
I used to run way more. I don't know how.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But I used to have like 700 par, 800 par back when I had the old Radeons and, and T5s and stuff.
Yeah.
And I cannot go that high now. I'm not sure if it's because I think that these new Radeons, the UV maybe is stronger because they added, you know, more UV chips and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if it's that and it'll cook them. But if I even go to like 350 on blues, it starts to bleach them a little bit.
So,
but then again, I'm always experimenting. So
Yeah, you told me that before when we were before the show. So what are some of your favorite acros in that tank? Any particular ones that
I mean, in here, I really love the this is one of my favorites, the firecracker. I don't know if you can
Oh
see it
yeah,
though.
I could see it.
Yeah,
I
I
didn't have
love that.
I tried a frag of that. I didn't have luck with it. It was kind of like a I put that frag in when I first started my Peninsula tank, and it just wasn't the timing wasn't right.
It's a very finicky piece.
Is it?
Like even that colony went all very bleachy looking, and then it came back, and I don't even know why. Like,
Oh yeah,
no reason.
couldn't put your finger on in terms of what exactly pissed it off, huh?
No, I mean, I really like the Bahama Mama right there to the right, and the yellow,
Yep.
that yellow Millie is the JKR Inferno. That's the only true yellow Millie I've ever
What's
seen.
it called?
JKR Inferno from Joe's Nose Reefs.
Oh, interesting.
It's truly yellow. Like you can see right there, that's an ASD next to it, the orange one. Because a lot of people think it's the same thing as ASD, but it's
It's
not.
not.
It's like yellow, like this yellow, like a, you know, like a Pink Floyd or any of these.
That's a
But I mean, I like the thing is what I like. People usually don't like. Everybody's into rainbow tinuouses right now, you know.
You're not into them?
I like them. I mean, I have a whole section back there of them. The whole section back there is all tinuouses. But I mean, I like oddball things as well. Like I like that. That yellow one right there is a Reef Raft Canada Fuzzy Navel. I don't even know what type of coral that is.
Oh,
It's
the
a weird, like
oh
smooth
yeah.
yellow.
Yeah.
And like this one right here, the Psychoberry, the RMF Psychoberry.
Yeah. Yep.
Is
Yep.
it? No, it's there. The
Yeah.
middle one. Yeah, I
What are
love.
some of the tenuous that you have? You got any named tenuous in that tank, like home wreckers and Walt Disney or?
They're all in there. That's a home wreck right there, the green one. The Walt Disney's that yellow one you can see way in the back.
Home records, it's bizarre because like I've got home wrecker as well, and it predominantly seems to be green, green tenuous.
Man, I don't know what is going on with that coral because when I bought it years ago, when it first came out from Jason, we were able to get a pink back then.
Now you're not seeing
And
the
now
pink.
I can't get a pink. I don't know why. Like I'll get little hints of pink, you know, corallites, but I can't get it that neon pink like I had it at one point.
I
I don't
see.
know if it's spectrum or I've been chasing that forever.
Rich Colombo says you've got his Jackson's rainbow tenuous.
Yeah, that's in the other tank.
Oh yeah, you want
I
to?
have it in here too, but you won't see it. It's way back
That's
there.
a kick-ass piece, man. That is like an
Yeah, I love
awesome.
that
That's an
piece.
awesome
That's
piece.
actually a funny story about how I got that one.
Oh yeah.
That one was here, I'll show you that one. That one's over here. A buddy of mine had bought it from this guy. I forgot where he got it from. This tank is gonna be, but yeah, it's white right now. But that's it right there, the big one right in the
Oh
middle.
yeah. It
Trying to
grows
see if I can.
fast for me, you know?
It's a pretty good grower. I mean, I bleached it out a little bit in this tank. I kind of pissed it off, but I gotta turn this tank blue as well so you can see it
I don't
looking.
have a lot of it left, you know? I sent a lot of it to Meckley, and then I had an issue with like some phosphates being really low, and it's sort of
An
like,
SDN.
well, it bleached out some of my pieces, so I still got a few chunks of it left that are starting to come back.
Yeah, that's what happened to me as well. This one kind of bleached a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
it can be a little finicky, but tenuous can be kind of
Me
tough
see if
to
I can
keep.
see it better now. Yeah, it's in there. I gotta turn off the flow. I love this piece as well. This is one of my favorite corals right here,
What's that?
the Tangerine Dream.
Nice. That's really
I'm a
cool.
big fan of orange. You know, orange corals are hard to come by.
Yes, they
And this
are.
is like one of the only really, really orangey pieces I've ever been able to get my hands on. I had a really nice Millie, but I lost that a while ago. See, there you go. You can see it better now. That's
Yep.
the
Jackson's.
Jackson's right in the center.
What's that piece
That's
to the left? Is
Ultimate.
that Angry Birds or something like that?
That one's Ultimate Orange Passion.
Ultimate Orange Passion.
I got the Angry Birds in the other tank, but it's a little pissy right now. It's
Oh,
lost. Yeah, it's lost the bright polyps. It's like dark blue. I don't know. It's going through a phase. This one right here is badass too. You see that one right there?
yeah.
The pink one? That's
Wow.
right there. Yeah.
That's pretty
That is
sick.
that's a Panty Snatcher. Speed Reefer's Panty
Is
Snatcher.
that a is that tenuous or is that a millie? I can't tell.
It's a tenuous. These are all tenuous on these racks right here.
Wow.
That is It's a Malaysia tenuous. That's why it's a little different.
Uh-huh.
Then I got like Grave Digger. I don't know if I can get it in there. Let me see. Yeah, the lights are being a pain. They're blocking it. But
yeah.
Grave Digger's right there. That big colony, that's one of them. I have another one in the other tank as well.
So, you know, I noticed, Ray, you got these corals, man. They're packed in there. Have you ever had to, like, do some serious trimming, fragging, move stuff around?
Oh, yeah, every now and then, like, when the shows come around or if they're just, you know, it's a rainbow splice right there, that big one.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, it looked like a multicolored
the millie
right there. Yeah.
No, I do have to go in there and trim them up. Yeah, you can see that one. That's a nice one, too.
Oh, yeah.
That red one.
All right, what are your top three favorite corals you got in your possession right now?
This one for sure. That Tangerine Dream?
Yeah.
I love that piece. That piece is just sick.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get a cap. There you go, good color of it.
Yeah, that's a nice shot of it. Yeah.
Yeah, the polyps are nice and like gold.
Yep.
And it's an orange color. I mean, I love this piece. I'm not going to lie. This is this tenuous area I was showing you.
Uh-huh.
The Panty Snatcher. When my buddy first got the colony, unfortunately, he lost the colony, and we've been trying to
get
it back.
Wow, look at that thing.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That is one of the nicest tenuouses I've ever seen in person when he first got the colony in.
Wow.
It had, like, these red, orange, yellow polyps on, like, that pink and purple body. It wasn't crazy. I mean, you could see a little bit of orange polyp is coming in on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got, like, every fresh color
that
in the rainbow.
I mean, top three is hard for me.
There's so many good ones.
Yeah, because I have, you know, I got stuff everywhere. There's more acros over here. There's stuff everywhere.
You got
but if I had to pick another one, I'd probably say the Firecracker. I love that thing. Like, there's another little piece right here. Let me see if I can get a good shot of it right there.
It looks like an awesome piece.
One of these days.
Yep, that looks pretty sweet, yeah. Man. One of these days, I gotta get me some Firecracker. I'm trying to like.
This guy's nice too.
Oh wow, man.
That's another Ultimate Orange Passion. Same thing.
Wow.
I got chalices and stuff as well. You know, growing.
Yeah.
Just tucked away. I have to redo that bottom rack because I let that Monty right there take over.
you got
between that one and this one over here.
Right, you could just chop the rack up there and sell the rack. You know, as a coral.
Yeah. Start selling little slices, little squares of that Monty.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, I have this as well. This is my Rainbow Blast, though, that I've had for years now.
Oh, wow.
It's a really, really nice. Let me see if I can get a good focus on it. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
That's stunning.
Yeah. It's like I don't even know what it is. I bought it from Rap New York years and years and years ago.
Uh-huh.
As just a little tiny rainbow. It was a tiny little frag that the guy sold me for like $150.
Wow.
And then I grew it out. It took me years. Years and years and years of growing it because, you know, blastos aren't the quickest thing.
So when you go to frag swaps, man, do you take like a couple of big frag tanks to bring a lot of corals, or do you just kind of like, you know, have one tank?
Not really. I take I have a Pelican case,
uh-huh.
You know, a custom designed Pelican case,
uh-huh.
with two tanks in it. It has a larger one and a smaller one that fits inside of it. It was built by Zen Reef.
Uh-huh.
And the, you know, they have the carbon reactor built into it.
Yeah.
It's like tucked in the same container.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take these little, they're beer. They're actually beer coolers. I mean, I can show them to you. They're over here. They're beer coolers. And then they have the building obsession. Oh, no, not building obsession. It used to be building obsession. Now I'm using a Zen Reef kit, but it's this. These little coolers. I don't know if you can see them.
Yeah, so you just put the racks in those coolers?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That blue is killing it, but...
Yeah.
It's those coolers have inside a custom-made kit. There you go. You can see it better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, those coolers have inside... it's a kit. It's like, I think, a couple liters. I don't remember how much it is. Maybe like 3 gallons.
Yep.
And it has two racks in each one.
Is that like a soft cooler? Almost looks
like, it's a little like it collapses.
Oh, okay.
You can pop this back out, you know.
Yeah.
But inside it has a hard box with the water.
Oh, okay, so it holds the water.
Yeah. No, it has its own. It's like a Tupperware box that holds the racks inside. And then, you know, I take that with the corals in it. It's four racks for SPS, and then I take two racks. Now I do it in an LPS tank, but originally I used to just do one tank.
Yeah.
When I started. This is the Pelican case right here.
Okay.
So I take that, this bag right here.
Yeah.
This is actually That's actually my bag that I made.
So was.
It's printed with my logo and my the Acro Landy on it.
Oh, there you go.
It's my own picture.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, all right, you got that Acro tank. Do you have any other tanks that are devoted to like LPS or?
Not really. I got these over here. The only thing I did with LPS is the top half on this tank. I left it just because. Let me turn this one blue.
Are those all acrylic tanks?
No, everything is glass.
Everything's glass. Okay, so I was gonna say it looks like
the only acrylic one I had was that first one, and never again.
I never had a. I take that back. Maybe years and years ago when I first got in the hobby, I might have had an acrylic tank in an apartment building in New York City. But since then, I've always had like glass tanks, and I like the Euro bracing. I think the Euro bracing is awesome.
Yeah, that's what I do on all my tanks as well. These are all Euro brace top and bottom.
Oh, and
even
bottom.
Though it's not necessary, but you know, I'm doing it just to be safe.
Who builds your tanks?
These were done by Tank Me USA, but he's not around anymore.
Uh-huh.
And then the new one was built by Exotic Aquariums Karen.
Okay.
The same lady who builds the tanks for Worldwide.
Okay.
She does very good work. She's local to us here in Miami. So.
Man, you're so lucky, dude, that you're in Florida and you got all these great things
yeah,
so close by.
Yeah, that is
jealous.
I'm jealous. We can go and find stuff, whatever you need, most of the time from a store.
So what corals do you not have in your collection that you would love to have? Are there any pieces at this point?
I mean, there's a lot that I've killed over the years that doesn't even exist anymore. You know what I mean? Like things that you can't even find. But see, look at this guy. This guy's doing beautiful in here.
Oh, yeah.
That's a another TGC Gravedigger comet. Uh-huh.
Yep.
It's real fluffy.
Yep.
And this is a Jackson's right next to it as well.
Oh, yeah. Looks familiar.
Yeah.
Do you sell online on the website?
Yeah.
Do you do a decent amount of shipping?
Oh, yeah.
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 This is the... See, here goes the Ghani's up top.
Nice.
And then you got... This is a new one, actually. I just picked up. Look at that beauty right there.
Which one? The one in the front?
Right one.
Nice.
Yeah. I just picked that up at the swap from Living Reef Orlando. It's beautiful, Ghani.
Oh, yeah? So when you go to swaps, are you, you're always like on the lookout to acquire as well as for selling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always looking around, you know. It's hard because I'm very picky, so I don't usually find, you know, things that I want.
Rich Colombo is asking whether or not you're growing a Tyree Purple Monster.
No, you know, believe it or not, that's one of the pieces I've never owned.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
It never called my attention, and then when it did come across that I could get it,
mm-hmm.
people treat it like it's a rainbow splice.
Yeah, no.
They're like, this is the rarest original Tyree Purple Monster. I want $1,000 for it.
Yeah.
Or I want, you know, I'm like, it's a bland purple coral, you know?
You know, it is all about the rarity of it and all that stuff. I have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a colony of it that I grew out from a frag, and I lost that colony. But I still have one good chunk of it and two big frags of it and another micro frag. I lost a few pieces of
There's actually one that I do want to grow. I don't know if you've seen it. From Route 66, he has one that looks like a purple monster.
Oh, yeah.
But it is...
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
It has like bright green polyps.
Yeah, that's not the OG Tyree Purple Monster.
No.
It's got the white.
Like white polyps.
Sometimes you'll see the they'll kind of look greenish, but it's got to have white polyps. You know, that's kind of like the dead giveaway.
Oh, okay.
And there is
that's one of the pieces I've never owned.
Huh.
Believe it or not.
Interesting.
You know, it's another one that I would like to get my hands on, but I was never able to. Which I'm sure you know, the Candlelight Concierto, I think it was.
I don't know that piece. What is
it? It was from in that time. It was called, I forgot, something Candlelight Concierto, and it was like the tips were like little lights. It was kind of like a fox flame.
Ah, okay.
But it was purple, and then the tips were like a green.
Yeah.
It was a really nice piece, but it's one of those that's just lost to, you know. It's lost to the time.
Are you trading, swapping with any of the Worldwide or Top Shelf or Meckley, any of the other big up?
I mean, I have
yeah.
in the past at shows, you know, like I'll Worldwide will come and buy something, or Top Shelf, or, you know, whoever wants something from my tank, or we'll trade. But the thing is, at this point, I'm like, I don't really want anything. So I try not to trade too often, because I usually get the shit end of the stick when I do trades, you know? So I try not to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
most of the time, I'd rather just buy it.
Yeah.
I'll trade if it's like somebody I know, like, you know, like one of the high-end acro guys.
Yeah.
But there's so little things that I really want that it's hard to come by.
So let's dig in a little bit in terms of like how you, you know, we talked a little bit about flow and lighting. I saw that somebody had a question back early in the stream about trace elements, and I think it was Frag Farm. Yeah, I'd like to hear how Ray manages trace elements. Talk to us about trace elements there, Ray.
All right. Well, traces, I do the flatworm stop, which is, you know, a mixture of trace elements in it. And then I also do the...
And you're doing flatworm stop, not because you've got flatworms, but because you believe that it helps the...
Yeah, man, it has something in it that...
Which we don't know what's in it because they don't...
This tank out here,
yeah,
had flatworms originally, because, you know, when you first start, you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, you're going to get them.
So you always end up with flatworms.
Yeah.
So this tank originally used to have flatworms,
mm-hmm,
years and years ago.
Yep.
And then I started it because of that, but then I started seeing the corals doing amazing. So I was like, man, you know, something is in here. Obviously back then we didn't have ICP tests, so I had no idea what was in it. I would just believe the magic juice. But you know, I started with that, and then I used to do fuel originally.
Uh-huh.
You know, the AquaVitro fuel.
Yeah.
The AquaVitro fuel is also a mixture of trace elements, which back then we didn't know anything about either.
Yep.
So I used to use all that, but now I'm using this. This is what I do, the Tropic Marin, the... Let me turn the light on. There you go. The A and the K.
Yep.
That's what I use for traces, mixed, all that mixed in together. I use that. I use the flatworm stop. I think that's about it for traces right now. I'm not doing nothing else. I mean, my two-part has some trace in it. You know, the sea balance.
Have you ever like stopped with the flatworm stop to kind of see what the impact would be if you stopped dosing that stuff? Because that's expensive shit, you know? I mean, that's not
cheap.
It is.
That's why you got to sell corals to make up for it. But no, I have. I didn't really... Nothing bad happened.
No.
I just noticed the corals weren't as happy as they once were, probably because I was missing, you know, part of the balance of whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
But nothing bad happened. I mean, I've heard people say before that if you stop flatworm stop, your whole tank crashes and the corals turn black and blah, blah, blah. But I stopped for, I have it written because I have these notebooks.
Mm-hmm.
You see these books right here?
Yeah.
I keep the books and I write down everything I do every week. I have like the...
I do the same thing.
Yeah, I have like, I've already filled the first one up. This is my second one. This is the new one I started. So every week, you know, I do alk, I do nitrate, phosphate. And I write it all down, and any changes I make, I write it in there just so I know. Because, you know, a lot of times you do a change, and it could be the smallest thing, but you might be like, oh, I'm not feeding refroids anymore. And you'll forget that you stopped feeding refroids, and you're like, man, why are the corals looking worse than they were before?
Yeah.
And that's why it's good to have the little notes for that type of stuff.
So I see NSB Reef says flatworm stop is great for coral tissue. Are you also using the, what is it called? The coral booster? Is that what the KZ coral?
Yeah, that's the other one that goes with it.
You're not using that? Okay.
No, I've played around with it. It does work well if you use them both together. But coral booster is another mixture of traces, and it's also very expensive.
Oh, yeah. I never used it.
It costs the same. It costs exactly the same as the other one. So it's like, yeah, they're both. You're going to end up paying $100 per bottle every time you buy one, you know?
Yeah, many cheap. So what about ICP testing, man? How we kind of like you, you know, determining how much to dose, and are you making adjustments based on ICP testing?
I mean, I always start. I don't dose the exact dosage. You know, I'm always under.
Yep.
Underdosing.
Yep.
Like the A and the K, I'm only doing like 3 mils of each in each system. And then I think I'm doing 5 mils of the flatworm stop in each system.
Uh-huh.
And I always underdose it. And I think that works for me. It works fine. I've always done it like that. And I believe that the two part somehow balances the rest out for me, because, you know, the two part is according to whatever your tank load is.
Uh-huh.
So that's different on each system.
Yep.
I mean, it's worked for me all these years. That's how I've always done it.
Who are you using for ICP testing?
Reef labs.
And how often are you
doing? Same one that Chris uses.
Yep. Chris Meckley. How often are you doing the ICPs?
I do them if I'm doing a change, like if I'm trying to figure something out, I'll do them like every week or 2 weeks.
Yeah. How many different systems do you have?
It's three total.
Three total.
This is one system out here. Yeah. This is one system. Then the other system in the room is, and then a double stack is its own system.
So are you're ICP testing for each system?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not cheap.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't always do it. I don't always do like the double stack, because I know that the double stack is a larger amount of water.
Yep.
So I know if the other tanks are okay, then the double stack is going to be all right as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm more worried about this one because this is the smallest system. So I check this one and then the other one. And then I go, which is, it's funny because sometimes this one uses more trace elements than the other system that's bigger.
Really?
Yeah. Like it'll be lower on certain things.
It's that's Monty on that rack salts. That's sucking everything up.
Yeah. That yellow Monty. That's actually from, I don't know if you know Darren Novy? He used to be up there in New York?
No.
Or New Jersey, actually?
No.
He was a big hobbyist, and he got out a few years ago. But that's D-Nov's Yellow Fever.
Oh, yeah.
It's an all-yellow Monty with, like, these little, I guess you could call them red or orange polyps.
Uh-huh. It almost looks like really a nice. Little bit like a sunset Monty, but it sounds like it's...
Yeah, but it's yellow.
It's more yellow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, same type. Or like a Christmas. Remember the Christmas Monty?
Yep.
Same type, except this one's yellow.
I love the Mystic Sunset Monty, that red one with the blue polyps. That's pretty.
I love that.
That's pretty.
I have something similar right here.
Oh, yeah.
I have the.
I
forgot what this one's called. This one has like different colored polyps. The polyps are green and blue instead of just being blue and brown like the Mystic.
Yep.
But it's similar, just not as pink. It's more orange.
Rich Colombo is wondering, does he have the D-Nov Iceman Tenuous?
I used to.
Oh, yeah?
I used to have it. Yeah, I don't have it anymore. That's probably one that's lost in time as well.
Juan Hurtado is asking, what would you do if acros are growing really slow? So I guess maybe the question I should ask you, Ray, is pH. Is that something that you try to really... dial in? Do you have elevated pH, and what are you doing for calcium and alkalinity supplementation? And I guess the reason why, Juan, I'm asking about his pH is because that usually will help accelerate growth.
I'll show you over here. It's easier to see on the other tank. Let me show you over here on the double, on the, because these are open. You know, that one has a cabinet.
Yep.
These, it's open, so it's easier to see. So I have a little makeshift, just the two little fishies. The large reactor.
This is a calcium reactor.
This is their calc reactor.
Calc reactor. Okay.
Yeah, calc reactor. This is what I'm using with. I have the media in it for the CO2.
Oh, okay.
You know, the soda lime.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So I did the soda lime in there, and then I have a smaller one here just as a water filter.
Yep.
Because, you know, if it ever overflows from the top of the skimmer,
mm-hmm.
I don't want that. I had it happen once, and then I didn't want that. If this gets wet and goes into your tank, it can nuke your tank.
Yeah, it's not good.
So you got to be careful with that. So that's why I have this as like an in-between.
Yeah.
Any water or moisture will get stuck in there, and it'll just get a little humidity through into this one.
Gotcha.
But that's what I use for the CO2, and what I do is I only run the skimmers at night.
Oh, really?
Because I don't really need them. Yeah, I don't really need them during the day. I mean, my tanks are – they pretty much maintain themselves, I guess, with the coral load. And I also have Shado. There's Shado right in here. I mean, you can't see it right now. There's a light.
So
off,
what? I'm not sure if I missed it. What's your average pH low and high?
Each tank is a little different. I don't think they're really different. It might just be that the probes are they're always a little off.
Yeah.
I can never get all three tanks to be exactly the same, even though they're in the same house. But I try to keep them. I just let it go on its own. I don't have like a set number for each tank.
Yeah.
But I look at where it goes up to.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say this tank right here goes to, I think, 8.5 max.
Yeah.
And then it drops to 8:20 at night, yeah, something like that.
That's pretty good.
So what I do is I set the skimmer to turn on anytime it's under 8:20. And then it turns on at night automatically. So from 11:30 to 11:30, the skimmer's on. And if the pH is still under that threshold, yeah, it'll stay on until it goes over that threshold that I put. And that's how I have each tank set up. It's just different pHs. That's all.
Yeah. So you're pretty much running an elevated pH, which will help the growth rates of your corals. So yeah, I would say one, if you're looking to try to like increase the growth, then if you've got a depressed pH, then that's something.
For sure. Because I didn't used to do that back in the day, and then one day it was probably talking to Chris again, because I talked to him a lot when we were at the shows. Uh-huh. And probably he told me something about pH, or it was either him or Paletta.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah.
We were talking about pH and it got me, you know, I went down that rabbit hole and I bought one of these and mm-hmm. I started with this. The only thing with this is you got to change the media every so often. It gets a little expensive, but if you have one tank, I guess it wouldn't be that bad.
I've never used a CO2 scrubber, you know, but.
Well, that's the reason I only run the skimmer at night as well, to save on the media.
Ah, okay.
There's another way around it. You can do a, which I do have sitting here. I just never set it up. Let me see. I think it's right here. Yeah, right here. This is, you can buy a solenoid. And then you set that up with the Apex 24 volt
uh-huh.
into your, you know, the same ports where the Trident plugs into.
Okay.
And you can have it control this on and off according to pH.
Yep.
So you can set it up to where it opens up the CO2 scrubber at a certain pH, mm-hmm. and then when your pH is good, you can close it back again, so you're not wasting media
yep.
during the daytime.
Yep.
And your pH doesn't shoot up too high.
Yep.
But I figured that was another thing to break. So
yeah, you know. Solenoid valves do kind of scare me a little bit, just because you know, like you said, it is an additional point of failure. And the more complicated the system is, the more stuff that can go wrong, and I don't know.
That's exactly how I think about it.
I think that over the years, recently, I've tried to like simplify things a little bit more, just to make it.
That's why I use the two part. I didn't get to show you, but yeah, I use the two little fishes two part.
Oh, you do. So you're using. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Got you. So you're doing
Julian's.
You're doing Kalkwasser and you're doing the two part.
No calc.
Oh, I thought you had a calc stirrer there.
No, this is the calc reactor, but I'm using it for the CO2 scrubber.
Oh, for the CO2 scrubber.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought about using calc, but like you said, it's another point of failure. And then I got the GHL doser, you know, tucked in there.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And that's the only thing that can fail. It's either going to be you ran out of two-part, or the GHL head is stuck because a little plastic broke in it. That's it.
Yeah, you gotta.
The only two things that
you
can
gotta
happen.
Do the maintenance on those things. Like I do like every 3 months. I clean out my GHL dosing head. So
have you had the little plastic chip off on the blue part?
On the caps.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. You know, you just gotta buy those repair kits. Maintenance kits. Yeah.
That's the only issue I've had with them. I mean, other than that, I'm not gonna lie, they've been pretty solid.
What what was I going to ask you? The I just spaced out on my next question for you. We were talking about dosing and it'll pop back into my head. So I remember. Getting a little senile there. How much are you dosing with a two part? I mean, how many gallons overall do you have? Yeah, I was going to say, man, you're probably doing a lot of two part dosing.
I mean, right now I'm at, I think this system is drinking like 265 mils a day.
It's a lot. Yeah.
So it's about 2 gallons a month.
Yeah.
2 gallons is some change, but I mean, it's worked so well for all these years. I've always used it. It's not that expensive. It's like, I mean, I get them wholesale, so they're like $30.
Have you thought about a calcium reactor and Kalkwasser?
I have. I thought about doing the calc. Because I know people that do it and they've had really good success.
I love it.
The calcium reactor, I'm scared of.
Are you?
I feel like there's too many moving parts.
You know, I use the Reef Octopus calcium reactors, and I love them. And I think I've never had any issues with them. I mean, I will I mean, Greg Carroll has a Reef Octopus calcium reactor. And in fact, I bought the same one that he had because he was just talking it up so much. And I've been using it for a long, long time. And he always says that there's no maintenance on those things. But I always do maintenance like every 6 months on my all my equipment or all my calcium reactors and stuff like that. So anyway, I think that I've never had any issues at all in terms of any clogging or what have you, because I just, is that an Oregon Blue Tort right there?
Yeah.
Nice. I love that coral.
It's the only old school I think I have left.
Oh, really? That's like...
I have that, and I have the Cali Tort as well in the other tank.
Yeah. So I, you know, I mean, listen, it's something that I used to dose like 300 some odd mLs of the ESV two part for one of my systems. And I was like, damn, man, it's just getting so damn expensive. So I switched to the calcium reactor Kalkwasser method, and I'm able to maintain my pH in the 8.2 to 8.5 range with that setup.
That was the reason I was looking at the calc.
Yeah.
It was for the pH and the phosphate, supposedly that it lowers your phosphate.
Yeah.
It binds it. But like I said, I've been scared of it. I mean, and I don't even have like the space like to set up the calcium reactor. I'd have to like shift things around.
Oh yeah.
Cause I have everything set up for the setup that's here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I built the sumps, the size of the thing. I designed everything, you know, I designed all these tanks myself.
Oh, you did.
So everything.
Yeah.
So everything is like, you know, custom built to how I planned it out.
Yeah.
So to change it out now, it's like, oh man, then I got to rechange this and that.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I'm happy with the two part.
What I was going to ask you, what are you doing in terms of nutrient export? Are you using any macro, like an algae scrubber, or are you just basically leaning on the corals to do your nutrient exporting?
I have Shado just because I've always had it.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Sorry.
Yeah. I've always had that. It's just, I don't know. It's another thing that I've always done and I just leave it there.
Yeah.
But I mean, the corals they do use a lot. They consume a lot. Like if I don't feed all, you know, as heavy as I feed, they'll just, everything will go to zero on its own.
Let's talk about what you're feeding in terms of coral and fish food, man. What are you adding to the tanks?
I mean, fish food, I like, I use simple stuff. Hikari, spirulina brine and spirulina mysis. And then I also use the rods.
Okay.
The rods original food.
Yep.
That's it for the fish.
Yep.
And then I have the auto feeders with the Hikari spirulina pellets.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's for fish food. But then for corals, I mean, I feed it almost everything.
Oh yeah.
I'm doing the Coral Frenzy powder.
Okay.
Which I've always used. That's a staple of as long as I could remember.
Yep.
And then I'm using the Fauna Marine Coral Sprint powder, the Captivate Invigorate powder.
Okay.
Then I was using the Fauna Marine Min S, the Coral Essentials from Australia.
Uh-huh.
I'm using their CVE, their Grow, and their Amino.
Man, you're putting a lot of stuff in that those tanks.
Yeah. That's why I guess I always have the PE that I have.
Yeah.
They're always feeding.
Yeah.
I'm doing the ProBio S I've been doing ever since Alan came out with the, you know, with his concoction.
Oh, so you're doing, you're dosing bacteria.
Yeah, I always did bacteria like after water changes.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would do like the Phonomarin Bactotherapy and Bactobalance.
Uh-huh.
I would do that after water changes. But then when Alan came out with that, it just made me look closer at it.
The concoction is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it made me look a little deeper into it. I tried ProBioS years and years ago, but I mean, I started using it again now just because we do have more bacterial problems now than we ever did back then. I think it's because of all the stuff that we're importing.
Yeah. Have you ever had any issues, you know, RTN, STN episodes type of stuff? Have you dealt with it?
Not, I haven't had like the RTN, STN, like how Sanjay was having.
Yeah.
But I had one time all my mushrooms died. All my bounce mushrooms died.
Hmm.
That happened in my other system when I brought in one new mushroom. So I gave up on bounces for now. I haven't bought back any.
Hmm.
And then I've had like where, have you seen the one where your SPS turned black?
I have not ever seen that. That's bizarre.
Yeah, it's only certain species. It'll be like the pink lemonade, the shortcake, you know, that species.
And that's a bacterial thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a bacterial thing. They'll turn dark. So the confetti will do it. Tangerine Dream.
Uh-huh.
They're all the same species.
Uh-huh.
So those are the first ones to go. I mean, it'll keep going, but I had that happen, and then when I started doing the bacterias, it went away.
Oh, so but you're
I've never been able to pinpoint.
You were dosing bacteria, and that kind of turned things around.
Yeah, it fought it off. That's why I tried the probiotics, because it says a probiotic and it fights off the bad bacterias.
Yeah.
So that's why I was trying that out.
Have you ever done the aquabiomics? Have you ever gotten like a report to see exactly what's going on?
I did it a long time ago, like when it first came out, but honestly, I don't know what the hell any of that means. Like, you know, you're looking at it and you have like 100 different bacteria in your tank, but they don't give you much other info. It's just the names of the bacteria. So
I guess what freaks me out is when, you know, they show you like the pathogenic bacteria.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like,
yeah, you get like the bad bacteria.
Yeah.
It's just like, I did I don't know if you've ever done it, the Triton, the organics test.
No.
I did that one time and it came back to me and I was like, I don't know what any of this means. I think I just wasted my money. Because it's telling you, you know, you have high carbon organic and low this and that and this. And then they're like, you got to add this carbon to your tank to fight off the other, to balance this. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave it alone how it is. I don't want to kill anything.
Yeah, Rich is asking, what about a carbon source? Yeah, have you ever been carbon dosing when you're dosing the bacteria?
I mean, I've played with it here and there. Like, I've done the ProBiOS, and then they have a product called MP Pro, which goes with it. And then I've also tried Tropic Marin Bacto Balance, which is also a carbon source. And I think also the flatworm stop is a carbon source in itself because it smells like vinegar.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure that has
You played around with a lot of stuff.
Oh, I've tried every single product on the market, I believe. I've been through all of them. I have drawers and drawers full of all this. I give it away. Like, I end up buying too much, and then I tell people, do you want this? Do you use this? You know, here, take this. Because I'm always trying to, you know, you're always trying to improve your tanks. You're always trying to get better and find something, you know, to make your tank a little better. But I'd say 90% of the time, you're just killing things, and then you go back to what you were doing before. But every now and then I do find something I like better. Like the Fauna Marine products I picked up after Alan did the concoction.
Because
I hadn't really heard about, you know, Fauna Marine is fairly new here in America. So the Min-S and the Coral Sprint I picked up recently.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I tried Coral Sprint a long time ago as well, a few years ago. But I wasn't as detailed and dialed in as I am now.
Uh-huh.
So I probably didn't notice. You know, I didn't pay attention to the differences.
Yep. Talk to us about other key parameters, man, like nitrates and phosphates. What do you like to keep your nitrates and phosphates at?
Nitrates and phosphates, I like phosphates under 0.1,
mm-hmm.
closer to 0.5. I'm happy, mm-hmm. like 0.05.
Yep. What are you using for a phosphate test kit?
Henna.
Okay.
I use henna for both, for nitrate and phosphate. Okay. And then I do the alk with Red Sea.
And what are your nitrates typically at?
Nitrates I like around 15. That's where I like them to be at. But,
pretty
you know,
decent.
They fluctuate as I'm experimenting, you know, using the, you know, we're using now the, I don't know if you're doing it, the ammonium.
I haven't tried that yet. Have you experimented with the ammonium bicarbonate?
Yeah, I've been using it since January, actually.
And what are your impressions of it?
It did really good for me,
mm-hmm.
until I got to too high of a dose at once.
Oh.
And then it pissed some things off. I had a freaking ammonia bloom in this tank.
Oh, no.
Bacterial bloom.
Did your fish, like, get upset?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I probably lost one or two. And I almost lost that whole torch colony back there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it started. I didn't know that happens to torches because I've never had that issue before. But the skin from the bottom, you know how they have like that tissue that's wrapped on the skeleton?
Yeah.
it started peeling off the actual skeleton.
Ooh, yeah, that's not a good sign.
So I had to move that into my double stack, and I saved it. And then I ended up splitting it off and bringing it back. So
what's that? What is that, a prostrata or something like that on the left hand side there?
This big guy here. That is the.
Or is that a? I think now they call it or something like that.
Well, no, now they call it the pink stag, Texas pink stag. But I believe that used to be, do you remember Hugo's rainbow stag?
That rings a bell.
That, I believe that's what that is. From back in the day, they just renamed it probably over the years.
So that's a stag?
Yeah, it's a stag. It grows fast as hell.
That's a hairy stag.
Yeah, it's really furry. I mean, I call it a stag. I'm not that great with the scientific names. Yeah. So. But it does grow like a stag. It grows long and, you know, like that. And it's a fast grower.
Yeah, that's a pretty sick
grower. And I haven't had a prostrata in a long, long time to actually tell you.
I know. There's like, years ago, it used to be there was like a lot of prostratas and...
Yeah, you had, what was it, Jose's Rainbow or something like that? Or Joe's Rainbow Prostrata?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one was really nice.
Yeah. So do you try to like... keep your nitrates and phosphates in that 100-to-1 ratio? Is that something that you are concerned about at all with?
Not really. I don't really pay attention to the ratio. It's just kind of what I've always done. It's like a sixth sense, I guess, for the tanks.
Yep.
Like I can look at my corals, you know, I'll look at them and I'll be like, oh, this one today has a teeny bit less PE than yesterday. You know, what did I change? You know, what did I do? So I usually go based off of that, you know, like if their polyp extension is a little off or, you know, something's off, I'm like, all right, they're not liking whatever I just tweaked.
Yeah. And you do a lot of tweaking.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm always playing around with lights. I actually started playing with that whole, the bolus method.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I didn't want to do the alk part. I was talking to Paletta about it. You know, I was kind of scared. I'm scared to dump.
Oh, you're not doing the big dump in the morning before the lights go on?
No. I just played with the light. I played with the light and I gave it like a higher start of the day.
Okay.
I was giving it an extra hour of 10% higher in the beginning. Uh-huh. And I did find that it does raise your pH quicker.
Yeah.
So it gets your pH up higher faster, you know, in the beginning of the day.
Yep.
And that's also helping me save on the CO2 media.
Yep.
So that's all I've been playing with. Right now, I took off the hour and I made it 10% higher in the beginning, and then I have it 10% lower in the end to just kind of balance out.
So you're not considering at all doing the big alk dump?
No, I'm not doing that.
You're not gonna do it. You don't. You. No. Why not? Why not?
I'm scared, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm scared to dump. Because how much was it? It was like. The whole dose, right? The whole
daily
dose?
Yeah, you're pretty much doing that within the first, is it half hour, hour or something? I don't know what the
time period is. That's 250 mils of, that would shoot my pH through the roof.
Yeah.
With the two part. I mean, I don't know. It scares me a lot to try to do that.
Yeah.
Especially with this much SPS, you know?
Yeah.
I've wiped it. I mean, I've wiped this tank out like two times throughout the years.
Oh, really?
Experiment. Yeah.
Some bad, some experiments gone wrong.
Yeah, chasing the pinks that we were talking about.
Uh-huh.
I did a potassium overdose a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't know that the coral booster has a lot of potassium in it. And then I was using coral booster, flatworm stop, and I was doing the potassium nitrate.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And then I think I might have also maybe been adding some potassium on its own, like a little drop here and there.
So your corals OD'd on the potassium?
Yeah, that's the worst one. That's the worst one I've ever done. The corals turn black, and they die over time. They don't all die right away. Like, they'll start, you'll have, you know, RTN here and there, then they'll stop, and you're like, oh, I'm good. And then, like, a month later, you'll have three more colonies peel away.
Mm.
In the end, I think I had, like, one colony left out of this whole entire tank.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least you've got three different systems, so it's not like a whole, you know, catastrophe.
Yeah, well, I always try to save like a little frag, you know, here and there.
Are you,
see this one right here? This is a spath.
Nice. They can be very finicky.
The spath?
Yeah.
Oh, not this one.
Not that
this
one.
This is a aquacultured RMF red matrix. It's been around for forever.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Gorgeous coral. What
he has some of the nicer old school corals that I used to like back in the day. He had all the nicest SPS.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What let's talk about your maintenance routine and what have you. What do you use for salt, and what kind of water changes are you doing?
I do 10% weekly.
Okay.
Always have, just because I believe it keeps the tank more stable.
Yep.
You know, you do a small amount every week versus doing 50% once a month. It's a big shock to the tank. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure it works. Your corals get used to it, but I just got in the habit of doing 10% a week, and it's always worked
yep.
for me. You know, every week I do the 10%. I have these containers set up. This is my auto top off container.
Okay.
So all I did is I made a little notch on the top right here. You can see the little yep. notch. And I have a long line that comes from the RO with a float valve that slides right onto the notch, and it fills up the container. I have the same container on all three tanks. That lasts me about a week. Each one gives me about a week on each tank of top off.
Okay.
So I do that at the same time. I make my water for, you know, I make the fresh water every week for the water change.
Yep.
I'm using Red Sea salt, but like I was telling you, I wanted to find a different salt because I think Red Sea has kind of changed something over the years. I also wanted to try the Fauna Marine. Have you tried that one? Their salt?
No, I have not tried the Fauna Marine. It's yeah, that's I've heard good things about that. I'm using the I told you I use the Captivate salt.
Yeah, using the Captivate
yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would really like to try the Fauna Marine, but the problem is that the only place I can get that from is Coral View, and I have to order. I think they told me free shipping after $1,500.
Oh.
So that's like 29 bags.
So you got to get a couple pallets.
Yeah, I don't really have a space to store 29 bags.
Yeah.
So that's why I was looking into, I told you, the two little fishies or the Aquaforce. I asked around the swap this weekend. You know, and I heard good things about both.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know Julian's salt is good. I know that's good.
Yeah. Well, you're not that far away from him, right?
No. He's like, I think 15, 20 minutes from me. I can go pick it up directly.
There you go, man.
Or I can buy it from the local wholesaler. They sell it as well.
You're golden then, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, you should also reach out to Chris Wood, man. Maybe he could tell you who's got the salt locally to you.
Nah, nobody here has that salt.
Oh, nobody
locals
does?
Locals here are very... Yeah, locals here are very picky. They use the same salt. It's either going to be Red Sea Blue, Instant Ocean, or Aquaforce. That's what you're going to find locally.
Oh, yeah?
Or the two little fishies. That's it. There's not really any other salts around here.
So you mentioned a while ago that you had, you know, years ago, aquarating flatworms. Do you have a like a quarantine type of protocol set up in your operation down there?
I mean, that first system outside is my quarantine. That's what I use usually.
Okay.
The small tank. The small tank works. I don't know what it has, but my frags do best in that tiny little 2x2.
Oh, really?
So anything I throw in there just grows. But I mean, I'm very, very, very careful when I bring in frags now. So I haven't had that issue in a while.
What do you do? What's your routine when you bring in new stuff?
When I bring in a new frag, because, I mean, first of all, I only buy frags. I don't buy colonies anymore. And then I don't care if it's encrusted on the plug. You know, the only time I'll keep the plugs, if it's, like, somebody I know and I can trust, like, 100%.
Yeah.
And even then, I throw away the plug most of the time.
Yeah, right? It's like, you can't trust anybody, really. But
like, I had bought a jaw dropper.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had bought, like, a jaw dropper and... I know it's clean and everything, and I check it, I scrub it, everything. And even then, what I do is I'll take the plug, I'll put it on top of a new plug, and I'll seal it with glue completely up to the skin of the acro.
Yeah.
So there's no chance of any eggs or anything surviving other than the coral skin itself.
Yep.
And then I dip them. I use Revive. I like Revive for a dip.
Okay.
Do 5 minutes. 5 minutes in Revive will get a flatworm off any acro.
Oh, only five
don't
minutes,
do
15. Huh?
Yeah, you don't do 15 minutes. 15 minutes will kill your acro.
Oh, and Revive.
It's very harsh.
I use the potassium chloride. You know, I
have that as well.
I bought like a 50-gallon or a 50-pound bag of the stuff. It's like a lifetime supply.
Yeah, I mean, that works very well. The only thing I don't like about it is it takes a long time.
Yeah,
When I get home from a show, I don't want to sit there for half an hour or whatever
and the potassium chloride or 15 minutes. I just want to do a 5-minute dip real quick because I have to put all the corals back in the tanks, you know, organize everything. And then on top of that, I have to take everything that I brought home, any new frags, and dip them, you know, cut them, put them in new plugs, etc. So I try to make everything as fast as possible.
What about, you know, parasitic copepods? How do you, you know, prevent them from getting in your systems?
I mean, if the only thing I've had the pods come in on is tenuous.
Oh, okay.
So I'll do, I luckily still have a few bottles left of it, of the Dr. G's dip.
Yeah, I've used that. Yeah,
I used that as an in-tank treatment before.
Yep.
Because that was Interceptor, basically, you know, it's Interceptor mixed into the water. Yep. But I luckily have a few bottles left, and I use that if it's a tenuous. You know, I'll leave it in there for like an hour.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I've had pretty good luck. And usually I inspect them very, very carefully. And if it's a tenuous that's not too expensive, I'll throw it away.
Yeah.
Like if it's something that I can get another frag off, you know, if it's something that, you know, you can just buy it back, I'll just throw it away rather than risking putting it into the tank and having to interceptor the whole tank again. And I had to interceptor this system not too long ago because I don't even know where those little white bugs came from in here, the tenuous ones.
Oh, yeah.
No idea. Honestly, I think they come on the cleaning crews. You know that?
Yeah. Who knows?
When you buy, like,
who knows?
You know, when you buy, because, you know, I get my stuff from the Keys.
Oh.
So you buy, you know, you get 100 Astrea snails, 100 blue legs.
Yeah. They don't know what crap is.
I washed Astrea snails, but who knows what still makes it on there. You know?
So Reef Keeper is saying, I have that same 50-pound bag, Keith, thanks to your video. I just hate grinding it up, laugh out loud. Well, here's a tip for you, Reef Keeper. What I do. And
you grind it?
Well, it comes in like those big like nuggets in the bag, like maybe an inch size, like these nuggets of potassium chloride. So what I do?
Oh no, you got to use a KCL.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, the KCL. But you know, it comes in the dried form in these.
Mine doesn't come like that. Mine comes like a nice, you know, clean powder.
Oh really?
Looks like salt. Yeah, it looks like salt.
Yeah, for the nuggets, what I do is I'll take maybe like a couple of cups of tank water, and I'll just throw the nuggets into that tank water, and then let it dissolve in that tank water, and then I do the mixing. You know, maybe I'll wait a few hours, and then I'll just do whatever I need to. You know, in terms of adding that dissolved KCL into whatever gallons I'm using in terms of tank water for the dip, but just. Just let it dissolve in tank water. Just a little tank water will, a couple hours, it'll be all dissolved. You don't have to do any of the grinding up. But
I wonder why yours comes like that.
I don't know.
Is it like moisture getting in there or something?
I don't know. Well, you know what? It's the bag that the bags of potassium chloride that you use for like water softeners. So it only costs like $50. I don't know.
I buy mine on Amazon. I get the KCL branded potassium. It's like a little silver bag. It's one of those. You know, the Ziploc silver.
Yeah. How much is that the cost? And how much?
It's not much. It's like, I believe they were like $15. I don't remember. I haven't bought it in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I used to do with it is I'll put it into, I have these things over here when I had the flatworms. Like if you ever need to dip anything large, you get these tubs from Home Depot.
Yeah.
These little concrete mixing tubs. Yeah. And then you put a power head in there.
Yeah.
I put a small little power head in there and just get it circulating. I would throw the KCL into there.
Yeah.
And once it was all dissolved, I'll just start throwing corals in there and dipping.
Yeah.
I haven't had to do that in a long time, so.
You could also like dip racks, you know, frag racks and that stuff. So that
That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
I used to put the whole rack in there, acros, everything.
Yep.
To kill the flatworms, but.
Yep. Yeah. What any other parasites that freak you out? I mean, Monty-eating nudies.
I haven't seen Monty-eating nudies in a long, long time.
Knock on wood,
I haven't
right?
seen red bugs either. The only thing I see on frags is, like we said, the white bugs on tenuous.
Yeah.
Or flatworms. But, I mean, even flatworms are pretty rare nowadays unless you get it from somebody that didn't know. You know, they don't know what they were doing at first.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody's pretty well informed. It's not like back in the day where we didn't have the internet.
Mm.
Now everybody knows about dipping protocols and changing plugs and everything.
Yeah.
I always tell everybody, even on my website, when you buy something, you get an email from me saying how to dip. You know, I recommend always to change plugs because, I mean, I don't have pests, but I do have algae. And you might not have the algae I have, and then you're going to have a new algae in your tank because that's how I got mine in the first place. Buying corals and not, you know, you don't really think about that. You know, you just worry about pests, but nobody thinks about getting a new algae in your tank. You get a bryopsis or, man, bryopsis was a pain for me for a while. I finally got rid of it.
How did you get rid of it?
You'll laugh, but I spent thousands buying lettuce nudies.
Really?
Yeah, lettuce nudies devour bryopsis, but the problem is they disappear.
Oh.
They disappear over time. I don't know why. I don't know why they die off, but they just, they fade away. I think maybe they get sucked into the power heads. They start getting chopped up over time.
But if they munch all the bryopsis, it's worth it though, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I tried fluconazole. Fluconazole worked here and there, but it always seemed to kind of make its way
back. It comes back, you know?
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. I think that...
No, I bought lettuce nudies. I was buying them from... There was a wholesaler in the Keys that would get them from Key West. Uh-huh. And they were like... They were expensive as hell. They were like $3 each. So I was buying 100 at a time.
Ooh.
And I would buy like, you know, 300-400, throw them. I would spread them out in the tanks. And they munched on everything eventually till I just don't see it anymore. I think... Also, it might have died off with the ammonia and the bacteria and stuff.
Yeah.
It might have helped as well.
Yeah.
Because I found that when I was doing the ammonia, the algae seemed to disappear a little bit more because I guess they don't have direct nitrate to pick up right away. Uh-huh. So they struggle. Like, I even noticed the shado was struggling a little bit here and there.
Interesting.
Because I think, you know, you're doing the ammonia, you got to wait for it to break down on your in your cycle. So you're not throwing straight nitrate into the tank and the algae can't just pick it up right away and take off.
Yeah. What about like cyano? You ever get cyano in the systems and how do you deal with it?
Man, honestly, I haven't had cyano in years now.
Yeah.
Probably in a year or two or three. I haven't seen cyano. But when I used to get it, I just do ChemiClean.
Yeah.
I'll just do a quick ChemiClean treatment. ChemiClean is good. It's also good for bacteria. Like if you have I had a weird bacteria in my other tank over there, like a band disease. You ever seen that on the acros?
I think so. I'm not positive.
It starts receding real slowly. Yeah. It's not like an STN or anything.
Yep.
It's just where it starts like drying up from the bottom up and it leaves little lines. It almost looks like a tree when you cut it open and you have the little rings.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It leaves these little lines. I had it on the one that worried me was my rainbow splice colony started doing that one time. Ooh. And I was like, oh crap, why is it doing this? So I did ChemiClean. I think I asked, I forgot who I asked. It was either Paletta. It was Paletta probably. But I asked him and he told me try ChemiClean. And I did that and it stopped and it grew right back.
Nice.
And I think that also comes in on when you buy Astrias and you know, different things. Cause
yeah.
Remember, we have the disease in the ocean right now in Florida that's killing the acros. Wow. So that's why I'm terrified when people say they use natural seawater. I'm like, man, I don't know.
That's playing with fire there. There's a lot of risk associated with that. But you mentioned rainbow splice. Do you have any other splice acros?
I've had a few over the years, but I don't really like them because unless they're like a natural, well, I have this one actually up here.
Which one's that?
That one all the way in the back.
Uh-huh.
That is the TCK. I can't remember the name of it right now. A kaleidoscope.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool. It's similar to this piece right here. Uh-huh. To this piece.
Yeah.
But it has like green grafts going through it.
Pretty cool.
It's a pretty neat piece. Yeah. But the thing is, I don't like the grafted pieces because the green tends to take over.
Is that what's going on with your rainbow splice?
Not so much the rainbow splice, because the rainbow splice will get, like, out of a green part, you'll get some pink shooting out of it eventually here and there. But I think the green is more dominant either way.
Have you always found green. That green frags of the rainbow splice do not sprout up any of the pink?
I don't cut green frags. I've had people ask me for them, and I've sold it to them.
Yeah.
But I don't tend to sell... Like, if I cut a frag for a show or something, I won't bring green frags.
You'll bring both colors?
Yeah, frag. I try to get, like, a nice marbled frag always.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sold a piece to somebody at one of the shows. Actually, he was talking to me at this show. It's a local guy, and he bought a piece from me that was mostly green. It was a large piece, but it had a little red, like in between the branches and like a tip.
Yeah.
And it's starting to sprout now. More red.
What?
But I would always recommend going for a more red piece with a hint of green than getting a green piece with a hint of red.
What's a dual color piece going for today, these days? What's a retail price on one of those?
I mean, I sold a frag last week or 2 weeks ago, still for $1,000.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find them cheaper. They're, everybody's selling them cheaper. You can still find them for like, you know, 600, maybe 500, but
yeah.
I try to maintain the prices, you know, even with everybody else. I don't like to undercut. I don't believe in that whole, you know, that approach of race to the bottom.
Yeah.
I try to match all the other vendors and keep it kind of, you know.
I hear you. So if you had to, like, provide some advice to somebody and give them the top three keys for coloring up corals, what would you say would be the top three things that people should be? And let's say, you know, obviously SPS, since you're a SPS junkie.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple, man. Lights don't really matter. I'm not going to lie to you. Most lights nowadays will grow corals, no problem. I used to use before I got Radeons, I had the Mars Aqua. Did you ever see those? The Mars Aqua China boxes, the black boxes?
No.
It was just the brand of the black boxes that they were similar to, like, you know, what's this company that sells the Proton and the Photon and all that they're here in Florida?
Oh.
Reef Breeders.
Okay. Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's Reef Breeders?
Yeah.
It was similar to the boxes that he started out with. It was a box like that. And they were $100 on eBay. The only problem they had was the lenses are really sharp, so you had to hang them like 3 feet off your tank, because if not, you'd cook everything.
Yeah.
But they grew corals beautifully, just like, I mean, I think I had better colors back then.
Oh, really?
But yeah, lights don't really, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Most lights nowadays will grow your corals fine as long as your spectrum is okay and you got the right PAR. PAR is more important than the actual fixture.
Yep.
So that's one important part.
Lighting.
Because most people are underlighting their SPS. Yeah. That's a big issue.
Yep.
And then flow. Flow is extremely important on acros. I try to put as much flow as I can in a tank without blowing the water out of the tank. That's how I run my tank.
And it's easy because you got bare bottom.
Yeah. Well, I started my outside tank originally with sand, but when I got into the acros, I had to slowly take it out.
Yeah.
There's still sand in there, like, you know, behind the rocks in the back part, but the flow doesn't hit it.
Yeah.
But flow, yeah, I try to put as much as possible without blowing the skin off the acro or deforming it, because, you know, if you hit them too much on one side, they'll deform.
Yeah.
And then without blowing the water out of the tank, that's it. I try to get as much as I can, get them rocking, I like to see all the polyps and all the acros moving. If they're not moving, that means you don't have enough flow in that area.
Yep.
And then number three would be, I guess, food. The alk is pretty simple. That's a basic thing that you should always have in any reef tank.
Yeah.
Your alk should be stable. You know, your alk shouldn't be fluctuating, nothing crazy up and down. You know, I go from like 8 to like maybe 8.7 or 8.5 every day, up and down.
Yep.
That's about it.
Yep.
It shouldn't be going, you know, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, nothing like that. I mean, I think one, it's still acceptable.
Yep.
If you have a crazy swing, but food, I think, is more important than that, feeding, because a lot of people don't feed enough either. I mean, nowadays, I think a lot of people have picked up on feeding now.
Yeah.
But, you know, back then, everybody would say, just feed the fish.
Yep.
And I've always fed the tanks, always. Ever since I started, way back when, I've always fed corals.
What's your routine in terms of feeding corals? Is there a particular time of day that you feed the corals, or are you kind of like putting the coral food in with the fish food? How you doing that?
I mean, I can show you. Let me show you over here. I'll show you real quick. I mix it all into a container.
So all that different stuff that we're talking about earlier, the coral food and whatnot, you mix it on one container.
Yeah, okay. It's all on my website.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to see it, you can just go on my website. I have all the routines on there. I use this. I bought these 2-liter beakers.
Yep.
And then I got this, the magnetic stir.
Yep.
And then, you know, the bar. So I throw this on here, you know, throw the bar in there, the magnetic stir.
Yep.
And then I mix all the foods into, I have a set for each system. You know, the food, this is for the fish food.
Yeah.
And then this is for the coral foods.
Yeah.
So I mix them all up on there, and then, you know, there's one for each tank. There's those two cups for each tank. I have one for each system. So I do the fish food and the coral food separate. I have a program on the Apex that does, it'll do feed mode for 5 minutes. So, you know, it'll allow the fish to grab the food real quick.
Yep.
It'll give them, you know, just 5 minutes so they don't get blown around while they're trying to catch their food, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I have that. And then when the 5 minutes is up, the power heads turn back on and I pour in the coral foods. That's it, basically.
And so
I try to do it around daylight.
Okay, so you're not doing the coral foods like before the lights are going on, when the polyp extension might be better during the overnight hours versus daytime.
No. I mean, I used to do this one food that I really liked, but I took it off when I had that black coral thing because I was trying to figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. But I might put it back. You ever tried the Easy SPS?
Yeah, I think I have.
The bag?
Yeah, yeah.
And it smells like...
Yeah, yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Like dead fish, mm-hmm. Yeah. I had that on a doser on each system, and I had that dosing only at night.
Gotcha.
So I had that doing it like periodically throughout the night. It would drop like 1 mil at a time, just so they'd have something to catch, you know, while they were feeding.
Yep.
But I stopped it, and I just never put it back on. It was kind of annoying to deal with, too, because... It got clogged one time, and it popped off the hose from the GHL doser, and started spilling into the cabinet.
Fun.
And I was like, man, what is that horrible smell? It took me like a day to figure it out. So that's the other reason I didn't. Yeah. So I ended up putting zip ties on the doser, and it held.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it's, you know, it's a thick substance. So if the tip would get a little clogged, it would form like this crystal. Mm-hmm. I would go in there every now and then and just kind of pop it off.
Yeah.
But I did like that food a lot.
Yeah.
I did like it a lot. It was actually recommended to me by a friend from Mexico.
So
Juan Gabriel, he's a reefer over there.
We've talked mostly about SPS. Any different care advice for the Ghanis, chalices, the other stuff that you got in those systems?
I mean, I try to keep things that thrive along with SPS. Yeah. So chalices do well. You know, you can see down there, there's a ton of
them.
Those are all chalices.
Yep.
And then over here, I have another large colonies right there.
Beautiful.
Acans do really well. Let
me see right there. I got acans. Are you target feeding those acans, or are you just doing the broadcast feed?
No, they catch whatever they can.
Yeah.
There's some right. Let me see right. Let me block the light. There we go. I got some acans in there too.
Nice.
I mean, I don't really do anything special for them. The only thing that I've had to really work on was, like I said over here, these Ghanis on the top. I did have to lower the par for them just because the tank is shallow, I guess.
Yeah.
These up here. So this top tank has a lower schedule than everything else.
Okay.
So I'm running these guys a little different.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, they get exactly the same as everybody else. The flow, I did turn the flow down a little bit more here just because the torches were in the middle.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, you know, piss them off too much. And then I got the anemones over here.
Bubble tips?
Yeah, sunbursts, Colorado sunbursts.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I turned this top tank into a LPS, because since those things took off over there, I was like, I might as well throw the LPS up here. They don't really bother each other much.
Well, Ray, man, you got quite the collection there, dude. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Any future plans to expand the operation?
I thought about making this other system over here into a double stack as well.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not gonna lie, this double stack is kind of a pain. At least the way I set it up, I probably set it up wrong. This is how I designed it originally, but you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah.
I have the top one draining into this one. Instead of going into the sump.
Yeah.
So I have the return goes to the top one. It goes from the top one, drains into this one, and then from this one, it drains down into the sump.
Yeah.
So I think if maybe I was to do it again, I'd probably drain them both directly into the sump and give them both their own returns. Because it does affect the nutrients and stuff, believe it or not. Like the top tank will act kind of a filter for the bottom tank.
Wow.
It'll consume, you know, it'll consume the nutrients that make it up top before it reaches this tank.
Well, at least you you got it all figured out in terms of kind of the dynamics of that thing. I mean, it's you know, it these systems can get very complicated, but I think that if you you know, just try to keep them as simple as possible and not go crazy, then you'll be successful, which obviously you are.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys down here, I've been working on them. The only problem I have with this tank is the acros don't color up properly yet. Some do, some don't. Like, this guy's doing pretty good. You know, some of them in there are doing pretty good, but then others are a little off.
Yeah.
Like, the Bahama Mama, for some reason, in this tank always turns dark.
Oh.
I cannot figure out why. It's that frag over there.
Well, it's another thing that you can play around with, right? Right. I mean, there's always something. There's always something.
I thought it was lighting.
It's never like 100%. Like everything's 100% awesome.
never.
You know, it's never like
that. That's what I tell people when they're like, "Oh, reefing is such a relaxing." I'm like, "No, it's not."
It's always something.
It is not. It is not a relaxing hobby. It's a never-ending struggle. Is reefing?
Yeah.
So, you're always fighting something. You're always changing. I was just fighting the Trident earlier. Look, I had this thing open. I don't know why. It decided to give me some errors, and the readings were all crazy and stuff. Now it's reading good again. I think that the you ever had the issue where the lines, you know, where the solenoids are?
I don't use the Trident, but
oh, okay.
Yeah.
You use the GHL one.
I the only thing I have, the automated tester I have, is a KH director. So
GHL one.
Yeah. So
yeah, well, these things, they have a little issue where the line gets pinched, the solenoid that locks it.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, I guess that the silicone of the hose or whatever,
yeah,
it doesn't like to open back up.
That's a problem.
So sometimes you got to go in there and you got to just pull the line off from the solenoid and just massage it and put it back, or cut a little bit off it off, you know, like a quarter inch off, so it doesn't pinch the same spot again.
Yeah.
Because it's like pharmaceutical grade silicone.
Yep.
Little hoses.
Yeah.
And then they stay like, you know, those brown tan colored hoses.
Yeah.
It stays pinched. It won't open back up. That's the issue.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Ray, man, I think we're gonna wrap it up. Any final words, man, before we sign off?
I mean, nothing really. But if anybody wants to check out, you know, the info about my tanks, I have it all set up on my website just to help people out, so I didn't have to always be, you know, answering everybody the same thing over and over again. I have a whole section.
Pirates.
That says parameters.
What's the...
Pirates Reef Corals.
PiratesReefCorals.com. And people can find you under Pirate Reef Corals on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff?
Yep. I got Facebook, Instagram. I have Threads as well. I just don't use it.
Yeah, I haven't figured that out yet myself.
It's basically, it's like a Twitter.
Yeah, all right, that's what it is. Okay. Yeah, I never use Twitter either.
Yeah, it's like another version of Twitter. That's all it is.
Well, listen, man.
Yeah, they can go on there and check it out. I mean, I'll put this video on there as well, because I have a page dedicated to all my videos.
Cool.
So I'll link this video into there as well.
Nice.
And in the section that says parameters, lighting, and feeding, that shows everything I feed. I'm always updating it, so if I change any, you know, if I stop feeding a certain product or whatever, I change it on there.
Oh, okay.
So it's always up to date. People know what I'm using.
Nice.
And I have a little basic schedule there, so they can, you know, the Radeon schedule.
Yep.
So they can see what I'm using. They can try it out and adjust it.
Cool.
It says the par. I have my par readings and everything on there.
Wow. Awesome. Well, listen, man, I want to thank you so much, Ray, for being on the live stream. Very educational. You got a beautiful collection of corals, and we appreciate all the info and all the things that you passed along in terms of what you've learned along the way.
Yep. That's the only way that we can figure out the new stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
It's working together.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank Ray, and I also want to thank the sponsors one more time. Polar Reef. Make sure to check out Polar Reef's new YouTube video that drops this Friday. We're a behind-the-scenes walkthrough tour, shows us the ins and outs of equipment running Polar Reef facilities. And also check out their previous videos showing some shocking fish, coral, and pet health issues uncovered by their veterinarian, Alex Hall, that dropped last week. Make sure to subscribe to their YouTube channel at Polar Reef for video drop notifications. Champion Lighting and Supply, besides being a place for hobbyists to purchase saltwater aquarium supplies online, Champion Lighting is also a wholesale distributor for many popular brands. If you own an aquarium store or an aquarium service company, contact Champion Lighting through their website at championlighting.com to set up a wholesale account. Fauna Marine, I do use the Fauna Marine Reef ICP Total Test Kit, which gives a quick, accurate, and easy overview of over 90 water values in reef aquariums, from macro elements, trace elements, and pollutants. You get a complete overview with corresponding dosage and action recommendations. I am now a certified Fauna Marine ICP test advisor, so you can select me when you're checking out your ICP kits. And you can also purchase, besides the ICP test kits, other Fauna Marine products at reefbum.com. A big thank you to Paul, who's also the moderator, as well as the president of the Boston Reefer Society. Please join and support your local reefing clubs. They are so, so important to this hobby. Also, want to let you know that all episodes of Wrap on the Reef Bum are available as podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Amazon. My next Wrap on the Reef Bum live stream will be on next Tuesday, October 1st, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My guest will be Joe Muscat from 2C Corals. You can check out the full upcoming schedule of guests on reefbum.com under the YouTube section. Until next time, be safe and be well. Later.